Well, hello and welcome. This is Jan Sircone, and this is Live from Ordinary Miracles. And usually I look over and sitting across from me is Matt, and he says, hello, Jan, and I say, hello, Matt. But Matt's not feeling very well tonight, and he has to take his wife to the airport at 3 in the morning, so I am solo tonight, which is always fun and a little bit different. The opening song tonight was, I believe, Ahura Mazdao, and that is a song that was developed by Valborg Verbeck Schwartstrom. And she developed a very amazing singing method that I've done for 15 years. And that song evokes the Persian protective god of light. So hopefully that can shine on our program tonight. We'll have a great time. Tonight's guest is a very, very special young man. I think of him as a sound healer, kind of a firecracker. The guy is so full of energy and so talented on all different levels, sound healing, composing, the humanity part, a very loving young man, Brad Tilden. So I'll be bringing him in shortly. He's here in San Francisco, and we were talking a little bit earlier, and I said, Brad, I'll be doing the show myself. And he misheard me. He said, you mean you're going to show yourself? But you never know. We might end up doing a little bit of that tonight, too. So this is Live from Ordinary Miracles, and I am Jan Sircone, and the show is broadcast from Cotati, California. My partner on this show, Matt Kramer, and I are both sound healers. The reason we do this show is to bring to you the technology, the humanity, the cutting-edge sound healing field, which we feel is going to be changing and already is changing the face of the medical community for healing, but also sound for spiritual ascension, which is so vital for what is happening in our, really, in our world right now, on every level, personal planetary healing, sound is there. So my personal program that I use is the Voice Bio, and every week I give a little bit of talking about that. My background is a nurse, and this technology allows us to take a look at our bodies as frequencies. Have you thought about when you speak? What makes your voice have its musicality? It's actually the vibrational aspects of the totality of your body, the bones, the nerves, the ligaments, all the organs, and your emotions. I can take that and I can actually plot it into a grid. So this is very left brain here. And then turn it into a graph. And the graph creates a wave. Now this is the fun part. If you have a wave like a bell curve that goes up at the top, intimate partner that you choose has the opposite wave. So this is what they should do on those little harmony and all those dating things, is they should just check the waves to see if this is a proper person. Why even have coffee if your sound frequencies are off? But actually, I can look at some other serious things too. There are some patterns that even physicians can look at, and they can rule things out even before your blood tests show that your thyroid is low. And it also has some other uses. Recently, I did a little music consultation for a school for autistic children. And autistic children are low in the frequencies, which is a musical note of F, F sharp, and G. Now, in a very simplistic way, think about this. If they are low in those vibrations, perhaps giving those vibrations back through sound and music, say tuning forks or toning, you could actually change the vibrational matrix of their being and make some changes. So I just offer that up as just one little viewpoint of how sound is being used in changing people's lives. Matt, my partner, who is not here tonight, he does voice mapping, which specifically looks at the emotional matrices in a person's body through their voice. And the amazing thing is if you have a lot of issues of your father, it shows. It shows right there. It's like a pie sort of thing, gets really red hot on conditional love or shame. Then he can actually pulsate those frequencies back into you, kind of amp them up, and you eventually have a catharsis. So there you go. The psychiatry of the future is just going to absolutely not be involved with talking, it's all about frequencies, these emotional things that are just tight in your body. So I know that my dear friend Brad Tilton is waiting online. So Brad, I'm going to bring you in. Hi.
Hello, Jan.
Hey, I love your voice. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, it's lovely to hear your voice. And you're there in San Francisco, right?
Yes, I am.
I just got your last newsletter. Now, I just have to tell our guest tonight that Brad was my student at the Psychoacoustics, now called the Globe Sound Healing Institute in San Francisco. And he was the most enthusiastic, bright student who had been doing some things. But I have to say, you have totally exploded. I mean, you are one of the most active profile sound healing students I've ever had. And the things that I see that you're doing in San Francisco on all the different venues. So we're going to try to go through them all in this next hour. What particular project would you like to start out with, Brad? What's your heart's desire right now to talk about?
Oh, my heart's desire, crystal bowls.
All right.
Let's just dive right in.
Mm-hmm.
I just had an interesting dream the other night. I was in Tucson at the Crystal Gemstone Fair,
uh-huh.
And I had a dream that I was whisked away by a cyclone and planted on the top of a mountain, and all that I had left with me were these three crystal bowls.
That's a good dream.
Yeah, and I was perfectly at bliss. And the next day, I was walking around one of the areas at the Gemstone Fair, and Crystal Tones, the people that manufacture the crystal bowls, were there.
Yeah.
And there are these three little crystal bowls that were calling my name.
And did they have your name on them?
They have my name on it, and they are now in my physical presence.
Well, you know, such a small world. They have been at the sound conferences I've been at recently, and I've ordered some bowls. And just today, I became a distributor of Crystal Tones.
Oh, great. So, congratulations.
Isn't this amazing? These sound healing connections are just happening so fast. Now, which notes did you get?
Well, I got a C-sharp, G-sharp, and an A-sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Think. C-sharp is the kidney, and if you have a stiff neck, that helps.
Mm-hmm.
G-sharp helps the digestion. These are just according to the voice bio, of course. And be sure and mix them up. Just don't play one all the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm the teacher, I'm the mom, and that amps up that one frequency in your body.
Yeah.
So did you have crystal bowls before, or are you just really?
I have had one, and I just found out that it's actually called, they refer to them as primordial diamonds, because it has a casting blemish.
Oh.
And they've since perfected the casting process, and they generally don't come out with any more that have little blemishes. So, hence the primordial diamond
uh-huh.
nickname. And that one I've been using for about a year,
uh-huh.
and I tone with it and bring it to workshops, and I set sacred spaces, and
mm-hmm.
it's very much alive. And I get to, oftentimes I can create a third frequency with me, the bowl, and then this third frequency that sings along.
Absolutely.
It's not just one of the overtones. It's a very, very magical experience.
Now, are you getting that, and I'll just back up, that my class of the Psychoacoustics was using your voice as a focused healing tool, so these are topics that Brad and I talked about quite a bit in the class. Do you believe it's an overtone, or is it more like a sword, kind of a one specific tone that's popping out on top? Or is it the little pinging overtones that are hitting all the different notes?
Yeah, it's actually, strangely enough, it's a frequency that happens on the bass. It's like a sub-fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes, sort of a ratio. And as I go up in my voice, it goes down. And as I come down in my voice, it rises up.
So
it's very, very dynamic, and I can use it to make sort of like polyphonous toning.
Mm-hmm. There, and of course, there's always some sort of mathematical activity there.
There's probably some sort of algorithm that
mm-hmm.
that I could figure out that would, you know, calculate the frequency.
I think you must be hitting against a core frequency in the middle, right? The phase shifting as the two
mm-hmm.
different tones work against each other, and then you've got your overtones and your undertones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using those bowls. You are doing groups. Tell us about your groups in San Francisco. Who's coming? What are you doing? What are the names of your groups?
Groups. Oh, I do a lot of things. I have something that meets the first Tuesday of every month at a location. It's called Shift Happens. The
Shift?
Center Shift Happens.
Make sure you say that F. I know this is an alternative radio show, but
Shift F T.
That's
right. And that's Shift Happens Center for Spiritual Education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's located in the Castro. And I have something called the Open Healing Arts Exchange, and it's open to anyone who does any sort of energy work, body work, sound healing, crystal healing, and we gather around and we just work on each other. And it's a great, great venue. I've been doing that for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Now, they have one of those here in Cotati, actually this intentional housing community that I'm broadcasting from tonight here at Frog Song. When you're working on each other like that, sometimes the sound aspect can be a bit of a problem if you're in the same room. How does that work for your group?
Well, the people in my group have learned to just go along with my toning and sound and sounding
and
chanting.
With it. I mean, everybody in the room is in training with it, right?
Yeah.
They must love you.
They do, and it's amazing. I've had some really great experiences. Some of the people, they'll jump right along and start toning as well, and so we'll have, you know, more than just me using the sound. I'm inspiring other people to be okay, to notice that it's okay to use sound in their healing, especially a lot of Reiki practitioners. I've gotten them to start toning while they're doing their Reiki, which is very fun and exciting.
So you're kind of setting the space with that toning, and you're probably, you know, aware that you're working with all the energies of everybody in that room. So sometimes there's massage and Reiki and different things like that.
Yeah, I tend to allow, I give other people permission, or I get other people to give themselves permission by being an example.
Mm-hmm.
And holding the space and the energy of the sound healing is just automatically feeding into their own natural inclinations to utilize sound in their healing sessions.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you and I are sound healers, but some of the people out there might be thinking about sound healing or wondering when we say, what is this? Let's describe together how we set sacred space. So you go in, and here's an everyday environment with everyday people with all their issues and all their stuff, and they come in. How do we create a space that allows them to have a healing event opportunity? Describe how you do that, Brad.
Well, I typically will start by sounding my bowl and letting the bowl's frequencies just immediately permeate the space. And it definitely gets everyone's attention and draws people in and into their bodies and into their minds. And then I usually do a mini guided meditation over the sound of the bowl with my voice, encouraging people. And I must say I borrowed this from you, the meditation that you do before your classes, where you ask people to visualize where they were about 20 minutes before the event and just follow themselves back into the room and into the present moment, leaving any of their worries or concerns at the door. And I think that's a really great way to collect one's energy, because we tend to be so spread out with all the different thoughts and activities and responsibilities that we have. So to bring it all together into that moment, and then I go from there with a little meditation depending on the feeling, and have everyone just come back to the room. And then before we commence, I have everyone inhale together, and usually just tone the sound of Om collectively, so that we all connect with each other on that sound frequency level.
That seems to be really important for everybody's, their bodies and their voice, in a simplistic way, to have some sort of a sound experience. Now, when you said you actually do a visualization, do you have that set, or are you kind of in the moment and you just let spirit help you decide how to create that visualization? How's your process work?
A little bit of both. I'm really working with anchoring the earth energies with the cosmic energies right now, and using us. Yeah, we all are.
We're grounded. We're spirit beings on earth. We can't flow away, you know? I feel like, you know, sometimes that little tether is getting snipped.
So I have a general format that I generally follow as I have people feel the earth energies coming up through them,
mm-hmm.
And then into their center point, and then I have them draw down the cosmic energies through their higher chakras into their center point, and I let those energies mingle and mix.
That's good.
So that the person's consciousness becomes the bridge between earth and the cosmos.
Absolutely.
And generally, depending on who's there, you know, maybe a golden sphere of light or iridescence or some, you know,
mm-hmm.
I get guided to the specific wording
exactly.
in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know.
I think that's definitely the best way, because that group might need like a little bit of the father, the shimmery light, and other night maybe more of the mother, that enveloping sort of light.
Yeah.
Now, another part of, let's see, setting sacred space, you start with the sound, get the space all set, visualization. And I'm finding that it's really important, because there's mixed energy out in the world, to invoke a sense of higher beings and light and protection. What is your method for that?
I use a really simplistic method,
mm-hmm.
and
that's
over
good.
The years it's been getting stronger and stronger,
mm-hmm.
and so I just stick with it, and I just simply set the intention of surrounding the space with a sphere of white light.
That's all
and
it takes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this sphere of white light that I then qualify by saying that only beings of love and light and, you know, the highest truth may enter. And then I generally, I'm feeling it now, just saying it. I'm in my healing room at my house.
Oh,
and you know, I can feel them gather around, the angels, the archangels, the light beings.
The minute you ask them, they have no will. The
yeah.
minute we access, they are like, what took you so long?
Yeah, they're
ask?
There.
I know, since our time together in the class, you are so surrounded by angels. I just always felt it, and just to see your acknowledging and letting them grow. Remember when you came to class and you said, I've been hearing these songs. I've been hearing them in my head. And we said, well? And you said, I could sing them. Whoa! So you sang them, and then pretty soon you made a book of them, and you're working with people. What did you call that group of songs?
Well, I called this book a collection of Vision Leader. And
so beautiful.
And I got that from Joa, what's her name? Belenda? I can't ever pronounce it.
Joa
Belendis.
Yes.
Yes. The book that you handed me, So That We May Be One.
Yes.
And that was a very influential book for me. And
pushed you over into the believability, huh?
Yeah, pretty
before
much.
You're like, oh, I'm hearing these songs. And the songs, people who carry these songs are called code keepers.
Mm-hmm.
And even though sometimes they don't have regular words, the consonants radiate the zodiac forces and the vowels radiate the planetary forces. So these seed syllables, sacred sounds that are coming through us, are actually bathing us in codes that our bodies need for this healing that our planet needs to have through our bodies. So I encourage you, sing those songs. Can you just sing just a little bit of one of those for us?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Brad has a beautiful voice. You'll
hear. I will hear how it sounds through my phone. Okay.
Take your time. Like being in a boat in the Mediterranean with the sun on us and feeling so held. It was beautiful. Now, when Joa Belendis, people would ask her, what language is this? And she'd say, this is the angels' language, of course. And they just sing it so we understand it. Do you have a sense of what that song is about?
This song is about just celebrating the sun and the energy of creation, and then bringing it out into the world.
That's you.
Yeah,
that's
you, everyone.
The sun, the divine sun. And you should see this young man with this blonde hair and radiant face, and we've had some good times together. So, okay, now, your bowls, you're going to be taking those to groups. Now, I have to tell you, I'm experienced with this. I've broken 3 bowls this year. I'm keeping crystal tones in business. So even though you put your bowls in one of those foam cases, I was at the airport recently, and it fell off and it broke. So really be careful with those bowls.
Thank you. I bought a hard case for what's supposed to be a tom-tom drum.
Okay.
And wacky noodles. And the two of those things combined seem to wedge my bowl in really tight.
Good.
It's been to Italy and back.
Wow, there you go. Oh, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, I've got a world travel bowl already.
Well, I've had 3 bowls and they traveled. And then what happened was I actually put the little striker inside one. And when it fell, it went wonk. So now I have, on loan from my dear friend Randy, I have 7 perfectly matched in-tune bowls, but I have warned myself, never take them out of the house. Unsafe. So if people wanted to come to your groups, how could they find you? Tell them your website, how to contact you.
My website is www.crystalmusichealing.com. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Again, that's crystalmusichealing.com. No spaces or dashes, just the words together. And that's my comprehensive website. It's got everything that I do.
Okay.
And
you have a calendar on there?
What's that?
A calendar?
Yeah, a calendar that I'm actively intending to keep updated.
Yeah, that's so hard, isn't it? A week goes by and everything's
gone. Yeah.
Well, I like the name of it. Crystal music, because I believe that singers like you are reflecting the music of the cosmos, and when you sing through these codes, it actually is like you are a crystal being. Did you ever get a sense that you're like a radio receptor antenna, sort of a crystal being letting these sounds come through?
Absolutely, all the time.
Mm-hmm. How does that feel? Describe it. I mean, have you had any visions of that? Because
Well, sometimes it's just this feeling that comes, and being a classically trained musician, I know what it's like when I'm engaging my brain, and I'm thinking, and I'm, you know, performing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something that happens where my body just makes the sounds. I just make the sounds, and I hear in my head what's supposed to come next, and I'm just singing, and my mm-hmm. breath can last
forever.
Minutes,
mm-hmm.
for forever.
Without even breathing.
It's yeah,
spirit,
and
it, the breath of spirit is carrying you.
It's the simplicity. It's
mm-hmm.
effortless.
Effortless.
It just flows.
Yep.
And it mostly happens in the shower. I think I've created some sort of Pavlov response.
You told me that's where you created the song. And I said, well, come to class and sing. I'm going to please put your clothes on. I hope you just don't can sing naked, right?
Oh, my.
That's great. Okay, so you've got your bowls, and so the first thing you're going to do, I know, is take them to your next group, right?
Absolutely.
Have you had them there yet?
No, I haven't.
How fun.
I've used them, I taught a class on crystal healing this past weekend, and the sound healing isn't in the scope of the class, but I did use the bowls to, mm-hmm. you know, begin the class and end the class and regroup the class,
mm-hmm.
so they're just my friends and companions here.
Let's move into... funny, you have crystal bowls, which I read they're 99.99999% crystal, made from leftover stuff from Silicon Valley, baked at like, I don't know what, 4,000 degrees.
Something like
and
that. Isn't that amazing?
And they work energetically with the sound to expand it. But you've also started working with this amazing woman, Kitty Mariachi, who is in charge of the White Time Healing here in Northern California, as developed by Shawnee, is it West?
Yes, Shawnee West.
Shawnee West, and she is from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're working with the natural minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us how that works.
Well, what happens is the cosmic energies that come through the planet, the cosmic radiation or wind or whatever from the sun, the minerals, that's what they use to grow, and that actually is what we all use to nourish ourselves on the atomic level too. Different minerals from different areas of the planet with different compositions, they take a different part of this spectrum of cosmic energy, mm-hmm. kind of like if white light can be divided into the prism, the spectrum of the rainbow. You know, one crystal might absorb all the red energy and another crystal might absorb all the yellow energy. And then when the crystal is then taken from the earth and mined, these crystals then emit that energy. So the red crystal emits the red energy and the yellow crystal emits the yellow energy. And this is all basically on a frequency level. And White Time Gemstone Healing goes a step further, and it intelligently combines the frequencies of different crystals to perform very deep healings in the physical, emotional, and mental bodies.
And how do you combine them? How do you mean? Give them a picture of how this looks.
Well, they're structured as crystal layouts that you place on the body. Generally, you would place certain specific crystals maybe a milky opal on the eye, on the third eye, and then a lapis lazuli on the throat, and then an amazonite on the heart chakra. And together, those three crystals create composite frequency that then does something deep to the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to compare that to sound is, you know, you can have, you can play a wrong note on the piano, for example, or two wrong notes that don't jive together, they're out of tune.
Dissonant.
But then you can have two notes together that are in harmony with each other and they create that pleasant sensation. Mm-hmm. So this White Time Gemstone Healing teaches you how to combine the crystals so that they create harmony instead of discord.
I see. And then as these energies cross over your body, is there like a neutralization of any dissonant energies? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Cool.
They go down deep into the subatomic level where we're all basically comprised of vibrating strings of energy. Mm-hmm. And these strings of energy in someone who has an imbalance, the crystal energies will straighten out those energies and get them to vibrate correctly. And what's interesting is if someone has a lot of energy, like there's a layout for red energy, and some people lack red energy, and people that lack red energy might develop a specific symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And so you give them the red energy layout, and they're nourished with the frequency of red energy,
mm-hmm.
much like your voice bio, where you know it analyzes what frequency, pitch frequency, someone's lacking. Color and sound are very, very similar and related.
What is your diagnostic method when you say they're short and red? Is it you go by their symptoms, or do you look at them and say, oh, you're a bit unred today? Yeah, a little green.
I usually ask people in the intake, oh, you know, is there anything you want to work on? And they'll say, oh, you know, I have a sore throat. Oh, okay, I'll use these crystals. So.
Remember that day I brought the therapeutic colored glasses to class?
Yeah.
And we put on, and we actually walked around looking at everything in yellow, looking at everything mm-hmm. in red, because that's tone as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is a frequency, and everybody gets really... The other night in our class, we had a dog there, so we put purple glasses on.
Oh, no.
Really stylish. I said, I need a camera. All the ladies had all these different colored glasses, like the 60s.
That's great.
So the gemstone layouts, the other day I was up in the gold country, and I told this fellow that I needed a rock for a friend who had everything, who does white time layouts. And he brought back a tiny little, I can't remember the name, but it's the most rare rock in the world. It's only found in Russia. Under the regular light, it's green, purple, but when you go outside, it's green. Now, this is a $1 million question. Do you know the name of that rock?
Oh.
That's all right. We'll check with Shawnee or Kitty on that.
Yeah, it's like a trivia. I wasn't prepared for your trivia question.
Trivia. Oh, yeah. Well, you're my student. You're my student. Once you're always my student. Okay, so let's go through some of the other amazing things you're doing. You are a composer.
Yes.
And you have made CDs.
Yes.
The first CD I listened to, really meditative and beautiful, full of passion. Tell us the name and what that was about.
That CD is called Behind the Surface. And it is it's pretty much a collection of music that I've been writing since, I think the earliest piece in there I wrote when I was 15.
Oh my.
And it was really my debut album in a sense that I finally cleared myself of any egotistical motivations for creating a CD and making sure that I was doing it for the right reasons, and also having enough confidence to be able to, you know, release my soul expression to the world, which is a very vulnerable thing to do.
Yes.
And I finally was in the right space and got the green light from Spirit, and I produced this album, and I was guided to organize and arrange it in a certain way, the track listing. And then I put it out there, and I didn't think much of it until I started getting amazing feedback from people saying they're having mm-hmm. these profound healing experiences listening mm-hmm. to the music.
Yeah.
And so this was around the same time that I produced this before I took your class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had my major spiritual awakening, my most recent major spiritual awakening, while I was in the Globe Institute, I think. And then that was when I really discovered the true power of the music that I had been creating.
Yeah,
so,
there's something about walking in, once you walk through the doors of that building, you totally change. I know.
Yeah, you warned me.
You suddenly remember who you are in all the different lifetimes and all the times you've used sound, and you're with your soul family. For those of you that are listening in, soundhealingcenter.com, run by David Gibson. It is a fabulous, fabulous deep healing program. It's different than other healing programs. It's just different. There's a lot of hands-on. The teachers there are dedicated. And I also might put a little plug in. David has put together an amazing worldwide Globe Sound Healing Conference, which is going to be in May. I'll be in Egypt, so I'm upset I can't really be there. But I think it's like 7th, 8th, 10th, right about that time. But just go to soundhealingcenter.com. And he has the Jeffrey Thompson, all the leaders in the sound healing field there. And it's coming together, learning, the booths. I'm sure Crystal Tones, our friends Crystal Tones, will be there. And Brad, you'll be there, right?
Yeah, I'll be popping in and out.
Fabulous, good. So, yeah, a lot of young people are realizing that sound is it for them. And they're having dreams, and they're waking up to it, and they're kind of thinking, why am I being told to go towards sound? I mean, to them, it's like a mystery. But like Brad is out there now healing people with sound, changing the frequencies of their body, spiritual and physical healing. So let's talk just a little bit about your path. First, you were... No, let's back up. If people want to buy your CD, can they get that on your website?
Yes.
Good. Okay, yes. Say your website again.
CrystalMusicHealing.com.
Perfect. Okay. How old were you when you knew that you had to follow music, it was your passion? Just kind of summarize like you're unfolding.
Okay, summarizing. Well, that kind of started the day I was born. And this story is also on my website. My mother, I don't remember this consciously, but my mother said that when I was born, I immediately started to hum. And I didn't cry. And she said that all of the nurses and doctors in the entire ward came over to listen to the humming baby.
Humming baby.
And I had a full head of, they nicknamed me Surfer Joe, too, because I had a full head of blonde hair. So I must have been quite the spectacle, this, you know, little blonde bombshell humming away on its first day it was born.
Cute.
So, but anyway, moving forward with that,
by two you were composing sonatas. I know.
Yeah. when I was about three, they took me to have my IQ measured, and they gave me they played a little melody on a little xylophone, and they wanted me to play it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up playing it back to them and then finishing it with a complimentary phrase.
With arpeggios. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, you know, I just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I added in, and they said they had never seen any child with such musical aptitude
as
me.
That was a sign.
Me. And when I was five, I used to collect my mom's empty cans and make little gamelons with them in the basement.
Oh, how sweet. Coffee cans.
So, you know, it's just like my whole life has been just music and sound, really. And then when I was 8 and a half, they finally started giving me piano lessons, which I had begged them to do for a while. And that's when I really just took to the piano, and it took off. And then I focused on the piano for most of my adolescence. And I was in high school bands. You know, I did percussion, and I played the cello in an orchestra, two orchestras actually.
Beautiful.
And yeah, and then just went with it and studied composition in my undergrad. And but then that was when I had my first spiritual awakening. It was my senior year of my college. I had been disillusioned by that, really, the academic, or following an academic career in music. There's just, I felt like something was missing.
Definitely, like music of the spheres is left out of the whole curriculum. Really, what music is about?
Yes,
the reflection of our divine cosmic beings. Now we know that.
Yeah. So it was interesting. After I ended up being awarded a fellowship in the music department to teach there for the year after I graduated as the assistant choral director. And I had never sang in a chorus my whole life.
Wow.
And I know that Spirit, this was guidance from Spirit, because Spirit was going to make sure that I started using my voice in public. Mm-hmm. So what better way than to throw me in as assistant director of three different choruses? And so that year was amazing, and I had a wonderful time at discovering the wonderful world of sound through the voice and singing, and I had private lessons, and all this wonderful stuff was just handed to me. And then I took a 180, and I enrolled in massage school the following year. And
learned about the body.
Learned about the body, and learned about
the sound and the body,
Beautiful. Yeah. And so then the real world came along, and I had to support myself. So I worked as a massage therapist, and I had a wonderful time doing it, and I was still working on my music on the side and finding a way to reconcile the two of the body, healing with the body, healing arts, and this music. And that's when the sound, someone handed me a flyer for the Globe Institute, and that's when the keystone fell into place. And since then, it's just been, a rocket ship to the cosmos.
You know, in a few minutes, we're going to play actually a cut of your CD. But what I thought we could do now, I don't know if you have a bowl handy, or we could just set a space and do a little sound invitation.
Okay.
We've been doing that on the air, and actually, just by your intention, it goes right out into people's homes through their computers, of all things.
Sweet.
Do you have a bowl there?
I actually have a little G-sharp bowl.
It sounds good.
And here, let me strike it.
Okay.
You hear that?
Yeah.
All right.
That'll get us going a little bit. So just go ahead and play that. The closer you can get it to the receiver, the better, just so the guests can hear it a little bit more. And then what we'll ask all of the guests in the audience tonight to take a deep breath through their nose and out through their mouth. We ask that only the energies of the highest light work with us through these sounds. Take another deep breath through the nose and out through the mouth. We ask that the energies that come from Creator Source are allowed to rain down through our bodies, through our crown, through our shoulders, into our abdomen, filling our bodies with a delicious light. The energies come from below the earth, up through the feet, into the body where they merge in the heart with the beautiful explosion of joy and life. And Brad, we can just start sounding anytime. Body settling in, and let these energies stay and be stabilized in you, and seal them in. Allow them to nourish and balance and heal anything in your body right now that you would like to release. And it is so. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Jen.
Now, is it Bradford or Bradley?
It's Bradford.
Bradford. That's good. That's a good, strong name. Now, I'm going to have Seth bring in your song. So just say a little bit about your song, and then how long is it?
The song is a little under 4 minutes.
Okay, that'll do it. Yeah, four, let's see, 4 minutes. We'll be fine, and then I'll have a little time to finish the show and say goodnight. So just introduce your song, and we'll have him roll it.
All right. This is called My Nameless Love. And it's a song that has the frequencies of unconditional love and joy to uplift the heart and to teach the body how to move with the high vibrations of unconditional joy.
Mm. Thank you. Here we go. So, Brad, you're working a lot with angels in the crystal layouts. Tell me a little bit about the Archangel Ariel. That name has been coming up a lot for me lately.
Uriel or Ariel?
Ariel.
Ariel. Oh, I'm
A-R-I-E-L.
Not
sure. I know Uriel is one of the major.
Yeah. No, I don't have much information about Ariel, unfortunately.
Maybe
I haven't
heard.
Yeah, Uriel was the one that I was referring to.
Uh-huh. And Uriel, tell me about Uriel.
Uriel is, I didn't know much about Uriel until I was guided to purchase this crystal from a very unlikely source. And inside of it is basically a scene of this angel descending to a mountaintop.
Wow.
And when I held this crystal, I felt this really wonderful presence just spinning and circling above my head. And I just sat there and I tuned in and they were like, this is Uriel, this is Uriel, I'm Uriel. So I did all this research online and the legend or the story goes that Uriel will be the first one to come down from the heavens to the mountaintop, ushering in the host of the archangels. And that's exactly what this crystal portrays in visual form. It's very interesting.
Well, that is a very inspirational thing to end our interview. We have Brad Tilton here tonight, a golden-haired sound healer composer out of San Francisco, and his website is?
Crystalmusichealing.com.
Yes, so in any way that you can be with this young man, very inspirational healer. And thank you, Brad.
Thank you so much, Jan.
I love having you on. And we'll
it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go over quickly March 5th. We have Lisa Raffel, a fabulous, very, very seasoned sound healer. Also works at the Globe Institute with myself and other luminous sound healers. Lisa Raffel will be our guest next week. She's putting on a huge concert in Oakland, and I believe it's a Spring Equinox concert. March 26th, we'll have Paul Heumann, a didge player, also doing some sound events here in the Bay Area. I'd like to bring your attention to a sound event called Sacred Sound Immersions, Saturday, March 22nd, at the Zen Compound Temple. You can, I will be singing at it. Mark Deutsch will be playing his bazantar. Lots of sound healing events there. You can contact Diana at templesf.com. D-I-A-N-A at templesf.com. Now it's the last call to go on a sound healing trip to Egypt. I will be there. Randy Masters will be there. And Paul Hubbard. These two guys are really consummate sound healers. If you would like to go with us, there's a couple spaces left. That is April 26th to May 7th, and the number is 512-891-7887. My website is musicforjoyandhealing.com. I am Jan Stracone. Thank you for joining me tonight with my guest, Brad Tilden. Our goodnight song and our opening song are from my CD called As Above, So Below. And this last song is called Tawa, and the CD can be heard at CD Baby. Good night. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's